Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Let me tell you something. Ben Johnson knows football inside and out. He's highly intelligent. He's an incredibly hard worker. But he couples all of that with just, you know, being a really good person, honest, hardworking. And perhaps one of the things I like, you know, most is everything Ben has gotten has been merit-based. I said, I think sleep is a superpower. I think there's an element of working smarter and not harder now that it seems Ben is, you know, a fitness guy. He takes care of himself. Everybody grinds, and it's tiring. And believe me, nobody's going to work harder than Ben. I want to make that clear.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We talked to the old Bears offensive coordinator, John Shoup, who coached Ben Johnson in college the other day, and then we got a chance to go out there and watch the introductory news conference. And we are delighted now to welcome in the new Bears head coach, Ben Johnson. He joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, coach. How are you?
Good morning there, Molly. I thought I recognized that voice that I just heard. It's a blast from the past right there. Coach Shoup, he's one of my favorites.
That was great to talk to John Shoup the other day. We covered John Shoup. Molly and I have been here long enough that when he was the offensive coordinator. And then he said the thing about making different look the same looking different. And then you quoted him at your own press conference, and it was great to see, Ben. Just wondered that origin of that story, the seed that was planted when you were a walk-on quarterback at North Carolina to get into coaching. How important was that moment and John Shoup in your life?
Well, David, honestly, I'd been around – that was my third coordinator in college, and it was the first time – John Shoup was – it was the first time I went into the building, went into the meeting room, was around a guy, and I said, I want to be like this man. He had that type of impact, not only on the quarterback room, but the entire offense. And just to see someone be that impactful in a young person's life, it really resonated with me. And so soon after I spent that much time with him, that's when I started looking at, man, maybe I want to get into graduate assistant and see if coaching is in my future. Now, everyone had always said I'd be a – but I thought that was just their polite way of saying I'm not a really good player. You know what I mean? So, that happens sometimes. But, no, Shoup was very influential on me. His philosophy on offensive football, I thought, was top-notch, and it certainly was a big thing for me when I finally got my coordinator opportunity that I referenced back to. So he's one of my favorites.
That's great stuff. And, you know, we talked to him. I remember covering him back in the day when he would be at Hallis Hall at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you'd hear about him talking to Sean Payton. I believe he was in Dallas at the time. Like, young coaches staying up all night talking to each other. And that's when he said sleep is a superpower and talked about how he wished he had taken better care of himself. But in those days, it was all about the grind. And I'm thinking about you, and I'm thinking, my God, you're playing in a playoff game, and it was a disheartening finish, and you must have been up all night, and then you got your meeting saying goodbye. Now you're in Chicago, and you're doing all this media. I mean, sleep is a superpower, Coach. Are you without it? Have you been up for several days? How are you holding up?
Yeah, no. Listen, that's the name of the game. Shoup used to also say your body can handle a lot more than you really realize. Your body and your mind both, and so that's true as well. So it's a long season. It's a lot of late nights, but once you get into a rhythm, your body will respond. Your mind will respond to it, and so I feel great. This is it's been such an exciting opportunity for me that. No, I don't need to slow down right now. There's just too much going on. There's too much good going on right now that I just want the momentum to continue to build. I want a great staff together. And eventually we'll get going on the playbook. I want to reach out to all these players. I haven't had the opportunity to talk to everybody yet. I'm still getting to know the building. So, listen, there's a lot of work to get done, but I hate how the season ended for me in Detroit, but just the excitement level that I have moving forward, sleep's a thing of the past. We'll catch up on that later. We got time this summer.
So you know well the relationship between perception and reality as a offensive coordinator and now a head coach in the NFL. And so the perception of you before we heard you the other day at Hallis Hall, Ben, I think was that, all right, offensive guru, great play designer, boy, he's innovative, don't know how he's going to command the room. You don't know how he is in front of players. And I don't know if that was always fair, but for the last month or so, as we were pondering who's going to be the next head coach of the Bears, we were paying more attention to your press conferences, wondering how you connected and communicated. And I just wonder, from your perspective, how conscious you were or are of the offensive guru label, and sometimes how we assume that a guy can't be both an offensive guru and the, quote, leader of men.
Yeah, listen, there's... Each role you're in, whether it was quality control, position coach, coordinator, you try to focus on doing your job to the best of your ability. And so I proceeded with the coordinator role with that in mind. My job in front of the media was to really have a message for the players, hype up our players to a degree, and bring the message of the head coach out to the media and the fans as well. And so that was my role. It changes now. It changes now completely. I'm beyond confident that I'm ready for this, and this is really what I wanted. The players in that locker room in Detroit where I came from, I really believe they knew that this was coming at some point. The coaches, time and time again, would encourage, hey, Ben, you gotta do this, man. You're ready. It's time, you know? And so, mm-hmm. No, you listen to everybody around you, and the feedback you get is, no, this is the right move for me, and I know there's, you might not have seen much personality necessarily through media interviews or on the sideline on game day, but that's what the job called for at that time, and I think I've shown over the course of my career I can morph and I can blend into whatever the job requires. So, yeah, it's a different deal going forward, and it's one that I'm really looking forward to.
So I'm just surfing the internet and reading whatever I can, preparing to talk to you, and I stumble across all these photos of you as a Cub fan, and it's you. You're very young, you and your brother and your dad out at Wrigley Field, and then there's you and your wife, like your, I guess, girlfriend do out at Wrigley Field, and then you're married, and now your kids are out, and you're all at Wrigley Field, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking to myself, and I heard the story that your brother signed up for seasons when he was like a senior in high school, and then eventually gets him. And I'm thinking, like, my mother, you know, this is a guy with a game plan.
That's
this
confidence.
That's like your brother. You know, you don't come from huge money. I mean, I'm just saying, the guy is obviously brilliant. He goes to MIT. He knows he's going to be able to afford tickets in Chicago to the Cubs when he's in high school as he's graduating. And then you benefit from that. You must come from like a family of geniuses. How can you describe your brother and what that connection to Chicago is?
Yeah, listen, I don't know. Genius might be going a little bit too far, but no, he is super sharp. And really, it's a credit to my parents. My folks are both educators. They're now retired, but my dad was formerly assistant coach in college. He got out of it when he started having kids and ended up being a high school administrator. And then my mom was a special education teacher. I have an older sister that's also in education. She's an assistant principal at the high school we went to. And so that was a big influence on us early, and you know, really rubbed off onto the kids. So we try to get good grades and all that. But no, it's funny that whole story of Chicago, because it took my brother, you know, six, almost 8 years before his name got to the top of the wait list. And being able to, and so at that point he had already graduated college, and he and his buddies were able to go in and I think get four tickets each and every season. So it's been pretty crazy to see that, how everything goes full circle. You grow up watching the Cubs on WGN with Harry Carey and Ryan Sandberg and Mark Grace and all those guys, and to see where it's come full circle now, it's kind of special, to be honest with you.
Well, if you're not throwing out the first pitch on opening day, I don't know what they're doing over there. So
it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I also wonder, Ben, as we see those pictures Mully referenced and we hear the story of you growing up a Cubs fan, all those trips here, I just wonder, you're an ambitious young guy, you're a bright individual. I just wonder, at what point in time, was Chicago always a destination for you professionally, even before you got to Detroit, even before this job became a possibility? Did you, in your wildest dreams, always think, well, one day, I want to live here. I want to have my family here.
David, I tell you this, man. It's the time I've spent here the last few years, there's no question that helped me find comfort. You know, when particularly I'm interviewing for this job, and I feel such great pull from George and Kevin and Ryan and the family atmosphere. And then it piggybacks onto what I already know about the places here, the institutions here, the people are so friendly. I love the Midwest in general. I think it's a great place to raise kids. And so, yeah, it certainly played a large role. And And honestly, the whole thing was a no-brainer once it all came together, and I just saw the vision for this franchise, this organization, where we want to go, and I really believe we can get there with the leadership we have in place. So you combine that with the location, you combine that really with the people and the city, it all felt right to me.
You know, I think that as a math major and a computer science guy, I can't help but wonder, like, how does your brain work as you watch football? I thought it was awesome that you said you and the quarterback need to sit together, and he needs to understand what the play caller is thinking. You need to understand how he looks at the game. You're going to watch tape together. And I got to tell you, like, I'm fascinated by that. I'm fascinated by how your brain works as a math guy. Are you computing everything? When it comes to fourth downs, you come from a coach that was always making – did you sometimes think this is insane? Or, yes, the numbers say yes. How do you do that? What is it – what's going through your head?
Listen, I'm all on board. I'm all on board. Analytics, there's no doubt within a game, you're thinking through all the scenarios as quickly as you can. You're trying to compute it in your head. And it helps when you have somebody on the line that – has already done it and can help you out. But no, that plays a large factor. Here's what I tell you is that background that I have, particularly with software, was about designing and building, and you create that vision and you see it come to fruition. And nothing's more fulfilling than an idea that you had, it comes to life. And in that particular instance, is within a software computer context. How that's transitioned for me now as a coach is you get into coaching as a position coach, and it's the same thing with a player. You have a plan for that player. How do you get them better? How do you improve them? And then you look to execute that plan together, and it's such a beautiful thing to see a player grow and improve. Same thing when I move over to coordinator. Now it's more in an offensive context, the entire unit. You have a vision for what it's going to look like. How do we build it? How do we bring it all together? And it takes so many people to see it happen. And, you know, the success we had the last few years, I mean, I think it's, that's what really makes you feel good at the end of the season. And so it's really no different now as a head coach. It's, this is the vision. This is really the design of what we're trying to get done, the culture we're trying to instill within this building. And the challenge is going to be to get the right guys in here, the coaching staff, and augment the talent level that we already have here and see this thing come to life just like we're planning on doing. But to me, that's the fun part of it, is the building together, because it's hard. But when it's done the right way, it's so, so fulfilling and beautiful at the end.
Talking with Bears head coach Ben Johnson here on The Score. And Ben, everybody loves the trick plays. You got us on the stumble bum when you were here with the Lions in December. We saw the double lateral last week. Oh my gosh.
That's a great idea.
That was great and creative. And I think you become known for certain things. And yet at the same time, it's more than that. I loved when you talked about not installing the Lions offense in Chicago. It's going to be an offense tailored around the skill set of the players you have. And yet you still have to have the ideas that you bring to the table. Could you distinguish between what we have referred to often in this town and football cities as a play collector, guys who do have great innovation and offensive minds, versus play callers, and how you have to sequence plays early to set them up for later, and how that all comes together? Because you've got to have more than just these trick plays that people remember. You've got to have an overall system plan.
Yeah, listen, it's always predicated on the foundation and the fundamentals. And so springtime is going to be about simple things like ball security, how to catch the football, how to run after catch, proper fundamentals of blocking. Like, these are the building blocks that we cannot overlook. All the bells and whistles, those are fun. Those are fun for the fans. And I'll tell the guys this as well. We are in the entertainment industry, and we are entertainers on game day. And that's part of it. We're competitors, and we need to win. But also, let's have a little fun while we're doing it. And so that's a big portion of it, but none of it can be done unless the fundamentals are really hammered home. And so that'll be our challenge here. How far can we push the fun part, the trick plays, all that stuff? I'd love to get to it, but we'll see what our guys can handle, what they can do well. End of the day, we're going to do things that we trust our players to do. As a play caller, I do love the thought of showing one thing early in the game and circling back to something different later. I love the thought of what is our last four games look like to the opposition, because that's probably what they're practicing. So how can we use that information against them? You know, all those things, they all play a part in terms of the game plan and how we call it. But really it comes down for our players. They have to understand a deuce block, a deuce combination in the run game. Man, we got to master that fundamental. And once we do that, then we can add a bunch of different layers to it. Same thing on defense. We got to be great at block protection in terms of getting up, shedding blocks and getting to the ball carrier. And once we master those fundamentals, now we can add maybe a couple more pressures, or we can add a couple more coverages there on the back end to make it even harder for the opposition. So we'll take this thing as far as our players are willing to take it. And right now, I'm getting to know this crew. I'm getting to know this locker room, and I've been really encouraged by the players I've already met and everything I've heard from Ryan in the meantime.
Yeah, it was a real show of respect, the guys who showed up, and it was wonderful, the dichotomy of seeing you one day telling the building how important the locker room, and then the next telling the players to prepare prepare to be uncomfortable. I thought that kind of combination of the way you were talking to people was excellent.
Listen, Molly, these guys, they want to be great. I really believe that every player in this locker room, that's what they want to do. They want to become great. And that looks different for every player. Greatness looks different for every player. But it'll be our job as coaches to hold them accountable, all right, set the bar really high. We're going to push them out of their comfort zone. But at the same time, they're going to know it's all within their best interest. We're going to have a great support system built up around them. We'll set that bar high, but it's also because we feel like they can get there and they can achieve that. So that's going to be the balance that we'll strike with these guys. And that was really the feedback from this locker room that I've gathered from the end of last year. That they want that. They want to be challenged. They want to be coached. And so I think it's going to be very receptive, that message going forward.
Ben, there was so much reported about you being the leading candidate among head coaching possibilities in Chicago, in Las Vegas, in Jacksonville. And there was always a suggestion that you wanted to have your own front office personnel executive to bring with you. And that maybe if you had a sitting general manager like Ryan Poles, it would be an impediment to you taking this job. Turned out that wasn't the case. You spoke about being in lockstep with Ryan Poles, about you guys sharing a past at Boston College, working at the same cubicle, for goodness sakes. So how would you describe that relationship, how it's come together? And look, you know how it works in NFL cities. Everybody wants to know, the new guy in town with the big contract, are you the guy who has a final say on roster decisions when you're talking with your general manager?
Listen, everything we do is going to be together. I didn't know Ryan, so I got to BC right after he had left. And so there was a lot of crossover in terms of the people that we knew. I did my research on him. He did his research on me. I think we both felt really good going into the interview, and we ended up hitting it off. I think we've gotten along really well in that interview setting, and we've been excellent so far. And I totally expect that to be the case moving forward. We see the vision for this program being exactly the same, and I'm just beyond excited to find a partner like this. Here's what I'd tell you. Don't believe everything you hear floating around out there in the media, because rarely does it ever come from me, right? So I found exactly what I was looking for right here, and it didn't take me very long on that interview to see the presence of George, Kevin, Ryan, the rest of the crew. It was everyone has a shared vision, and they're totally committed to building a team that this city's going to be proud of.
You know, it's great to talk to you, Coach. We really appreciate your time. I would just say the last time the Bears won a championship, you weren't even born yet. So we're really looking forward to hopefully getting back to the playoffs and what follows and everything else. Really great talking to you. Great energy. We're really pumped up.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Ben Johnson, the new Bears head coach.